A very good evening to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is 19th January 2021. We will continue from this book, the sharing, the essence of infinite meaning, yeah? Teachings from the adapted verses of the Sutra of Infinite Meaning. We are at page 89, yeah? We will continue from there. So as usual, we will have half an hour of awareness-based meditation. I will off the light, then we can commence our meditation. So just relax body and mind completely. Be at ease. Then whatever thought arise, let it arise. Then remember the four support for the development of awareness-based meditation. The first two support are most important. Relax, body and mind, completely relax. Don't do anything, just silent, without thought. Then maintain awareness. When you maintain awareness, you don't think, you're just aware. Don't try to be aware of what, just aware, finish. Whatever arise, away, move on, away, finish, away, finish. Whatever sense experience or tactile contact, whatever that arise within the form and mind, just away, then let things be, maintain awareness. The third support is, you have to do this stability of mindfulness or awareness for as long as you can. Means relax, maintain awareness for as long as you can. That support. Theoretically, it's 24 hours. Or initially, throughout the waking moments, you need to maintain mindfulness or awareness. Then the last one is trust. Trust your nature to do the meditation. No more thought-based meditation. No more verbalization. No more chattering. Silent everything. And just let things be. Then the nature will move, will activate whatever it wants to. But the fourth support you cannot do until your mindfulness has stabilized. So initially, the first two, then stabilize the mindfulness or awareness nature within using the third support. The third support is continuous awareness or mindfulness. Each of us feels compassion. But how do we live out that compassion in the world? This is very important. Maybe you feel that you are compassionate, you have compassion. But how do we live it out? Do you really have the embodiment of that love and compassion in you? So to be able to live out that compassion and use it in the world are two different things. If you only think you know or you feel you have compassion, but that compassion cannot be radiated out, cannot be expressed out into a living reality when you live your life within this existential world, then it is of not much use. It's only you only have knowledge of compassion, but you have not developed the true compassion. To be compassionate, you must have the wisdom and the understanding. Without the wisdom and the understanding, the compassion is only compassion according to your thought process, according to what you think, you believe. By helping people, you have compassion, then your action is born of that merits, or to develop that quality of mind state which you think you are being compassionate. But true compassion requires a lot of wisdom and understanding. True compassion has no ego. There is nothing inside that. The evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion is not there at all. Compassion is a quality within you that can be expressed out anytime, any place, anywhere, and it applies to all conditions. You will not be like normal people, only compassionate when it comes to someone you know, or your loved ones, or someone who is close to you, have affinity with you, then you try to help, you try to be loving, apply that compassion to help these people. But when it comes to somebody you don't know, or you don't like, or of a different race, or a different religion, or belief system, then your compassion cannot come out, because there is this delusion, Socrates of delusion, that divide humanity into you, me, and I, into all the race label, and also the religious label. So when you have such delusion within your form and mind, when you are not able to develop the true understanding of what compassion is, then that delusion will actually set you off and cause deviation. So whatever you do, you may think you are compassionate, but the ego is there, the self is there, the division is there. So true compassion is a universal mind state, a universal quality that is not affected by any duality or division. The heart is just compassionate in that sense, that wherever there is condition for things to arise, then this compassion will flow for the good of the many, for the good of the world, humanity, environment, and everything. That love, that compassion, it will radiate out. And it will do things silently, quietly within. And it just acts. It does not like other people wants to show off to people, oh, yeah, I am being compassionate, I am what. So all this has motive behind, whereas the other one, the true one, wherever there is condition, they just manifest and they just do what is appropriate, without division or thought of discrimination. Okay, we will continue. So this part is very useful. Don't just feel compassion, but you have to really have the embodiment of it through wisdom and understanding, then able to live it. Live it within your life, your existence, where you manifest. Wisdom is fundamental to practicing the path. See? Again, the emphasis is wisdom. Without wisdom, you can't. To see the starting point and direction of the path, we need to see with wisdom so that we can walk in the correct direction. Thus, we see clearly through the eyes of wisdom. They always use this word, wisdom eye. Because people have to relate wisdom to something, to something you see. If we lack the guidance of wisdom and walk onto a dark and dim road, we may encounter obstacle, trip, or accidentally fall into a trap. Even a slight deviation can lead us far off the path, which is very true. Huh? If you are a technical person, you will know. Huh? Let's say there is a certain path or direction you're supposed to move. But if, let's say, you deviate by a small angle over a long period of distance, that arc that is formed from the angle is going to be very big. So a slight deviation at the starting point can lead to deviation very, very far away towards the end of the long period of cultivation. That's why having right view, right understanding is very important. Do not start with the wrong approach or understanding. When you start with the wrong approach and the wrong understanding, you will debate. That's why I say, have patience. Sincerely develop the cultivation of the first phase of Dhamma, Pariyati, the learning of the teaching. Learn it patiently. Take your time. Find out the truth. Understand it clearly. And then only move on to phase two. Patipati. Phase two is to put this teaching into practice or cultivation so that you can realize it, awaken to it. Then the phase three is Pativeda. You reap the fruit of your hard work. You get to live the life of enlightenment. So these three phases of Dhamma are very important. So phase one of Dhamma is the learning, the study. So that one we can say it is initially a little bit of knowledge first. Then the first and second turning wisdom can arise. When you constantly listen to the true Dhamma, when you mix with true Dhamma friends who understand the Dhamma and has the Dhamma, it can give rise to first turning wisdom. You can develop some form of understanding of the teaching. Then you must investigate this teaching. When you investigate, you must also reflect, contemplate, and inquire. Why did the Buddha say this? Can I put it to test? Can I investigate into it? And when it stands up to investigation, then there is very, very strong faith. Faith becomes unshakable. Then from Saddha, it leads to Virya, the spiritual faculty. Then you go all out to cultivate, to develop Sati. That's how the spiritual faculty fall into place. Then when the spiritual faculty of Sati is stabilized, it becomes Samadhi. The mind is collected and unwavering, but it's not in a state of concentration. It's in the state of Samadhi. Samadhi is the collectedness of mind, unwavering mind, but it's not in concentration. The stability of this mindfulness is based on an understanding. It's not based on a conditioned state of mind. So when the understanding develops into wisdom, then from Samadhi, it becomes Upeka. The mind has equanimity. It does not stir and react to sense experience anymore. So the true Samadhi supported by wisdom will arise. Initially, Samadhi is needed for you to see things as they are, so that the mind does not stir or react. If the mind don't have the stability of samadhi, it is not collected and unwavering. Means at the moment of sense experience, it can still waver because it's not stable enough. But this samadhi is not concentration. If you go into very deep state of concentration, it can give rise to some form of no thought scenario. Your mind is like clarity to one pointedness, focus, concentrated or in absorption, no thought. So during that time, because the condition state, you also unwavering, collected. But that one is not the real Samma Samadhi. The Samma Samadhi is born of a free mind that is collected and unwavering, that has the stability of sati. That's the reason why during the early years of Sakyamuni Buddha's cultivation, when he was still a bodhisattva, when he learned all of the jhanas, when he developed all the four form jhana and the four formless jhana, he was still not enlightened. These are very strong concentration, very powerful concentration, mind state, one-pointedness, continuous absorption, jhanas. But during this state, your mind is collected, unwavering in the state of concentration because it's a conditioned state. So all the defilements, all the mental hindrance, the anusaya, asava, everything, they are being suppressed. It cannot surface because of the concentration. So because of that, you cannot root it out. So when you are in those states, it does not help you at all. But it can give you a lot of calmness, peacefulness, that you use it to develop psychic ability, you can do. So that is what energy field is all about. Thought-based meditation is all about. But when it comes to awareness base, you don't focus, you don't concentrate. You relax and maintain awareness and develop the wisdom, develop the understanding, until finally the mind becomes collected, unwavering. Yeah. And the stability of samadhi arise. So initially is just stability of samadhi. Then when you have that state in the midst of life, your daily mindfulness will be very stable, very stable. And most of the time you are just aware, peaceful with clarity. Then your mind does not stir, because you have developed some form of wisdom, initial wisdom, we call it yoniso manasikara. You have straightened your view to a great extent. That's why most of the time your mind is in the state of samadhi, because supported by wisdom, yoniso manasikara, the initial wisdom. So at the moment of sense experience, it does not stir, it does not react. And the habitual tendency, the old habitual tendency that has the delusion, cannot arise anymore, because through that silent mind is able to develop the direct seeing, the direct observation, the awareness of phenomena, the awareness of what arises within the form and mind. Then through this awareness or mindfulness, he understands how one individual who is still deluded with sakyadity, self-delusion, entangle themselves, how their mind stir, react, and create their own attachment and clinging, grasping, via sakayaditi, self-delusion. So this is the cause of suffering, misery. Then how fear arises, how anger and emotion arise, how craving and desire arise, then how it entangles itself when there is no mindfulness and stability or wisdom or initial wisdom, the understanding. So when you cannot see things as they are, you will perceive things according to your memory, which is the collection of views, opinion, and conditioning. So all this will condition you into negativity. So this negativity of thought process will lead to the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion that cause your karmic nature to fall. Condition negativity of karma. So all this, when you start to develop the mindfulness to be aware, you start to understand how you get yourself entangled in life and how suffering comes to be. Then when you understand how all these things unfold, you can retrospectively reverse it through your understanding. The next time I confront such sense experience, how can I not react, stir my mind, and develop the delusion? How can I just let things be, accept the reality of the moment, and be at peace with all situation? So that demands understanding, the ability to see things as they are, not according to what your views, opinion, memory, and belief system condition you into. When you see things as they are, there is no words. You don't label that thing. You don't create a concept out of it. Then you realize the penetrative wisdom, the direct seeing, the awakening. Then you come to understand all these phenomena, they exhibit the three universal characteristics. The three universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, and anatta, they are inherent in all phenomena. We are all phenomena within the conditioned world. Through your observation, you will know they are all dependent, originating, conditioned, arising, cause of phenomena. Without condition, nothing arises. When conditions arise, things arise. When conditions sustain itself, phenomena continue to evolve and sustain itself. Then when phenomena cease to be, conditions cease to be, that phenomena will cease to be. So when you start to see this, you start to understand the universal characteristic behind the universal characteristics of change, impermanent, anicca. Then you realize everything is just the way it is. Then condition has already arise within that moment. Then things will be such, cannot be otherwise, because they are dependent, originating, condition arising. So within that moment, the set condition is already set. Like the Buddha say, whatever that arise, there are causes and condition behind. When you understand this, this is wisdom. Means you have to accept the reality of the moment. And then you act. It doesn't mean you cannot act. You can still act. But act with wisdom. Not to react first. Not to stir your mind first. Not to condemn or want things your way. When you want things your way, it means you cannot accept the reality of the moment. Means you lack wisdom to understand the reality within the moment. You don't understand the conditioned world's universal characteristic. Because they are impermanent, dependent on condition they arise. They are all causal phenomena, dependent originating, condition arising. Because of that universal characteristic, you should know. If you want things your way, which is not nature's way according to all these conditions, you will suffer. That's why the Buddha, under the first noble truth, he said, when things don't go your way, when you cannot get what you want, when your expectations in life are not met, you suffer. So, the natural consequence of the universal characteristics of change will lead to the universal characteristics of suffering. Because things change. It cannot remain forever the same. If you attach, cling, and crave and want it to be yours forever young, don't get old, don't get sick. It's impossible. That is nature's law. Like our physical body, it goes the way of nature. You can't tell this body, hey, please don't get old, don't get sick, don't die. It never listened to you. That's why it's impermanent. Dependent originating, condition arising, cause of phenomena. There is no atta within. That's why it's anatta, non-self. But there is such thing as a human being, life, even though it's dependent originating. And this human being, or form and mind, we call it, is subject to karma. Because within the existential world, the conditioned world, this law of karma is very powerful. All form and mind, because of mind, there is mental intention, the moral causation, is chitina, the mental intention that gives rise to karma. So understanding this is very important. So when you understand impermanent, you will understand empty nature, existence, non-self, anatta nature. And when you understand impermanent and anatta nature, you will know you cannot deludedly cling, attach, and grasp on to things, and hold on to things, and want things your way. If you do that, you suffer. The universal characteristics of suffering will arise. That's why the Buddha said, Sabbe sankara anicchang, all of sankara, my state, my activity, mental movements, they are impermanent, they come and they go. They follow nature's law, nature's condition. So because they are impermanent, he continued by saying, Sabbe sankara dukkhang. If you give meaning, you attach, grasp and cling to all these sankara, mental states, your views, your opinion, your conditioning, your mental formation, your whatever perception, feeling, consciousness, suffering will arise. There's all of sankara, the content of consciousness, if you attach and cling without understanding and wisdom, it will lead to suffering. So the famous saying of the Buddha is very, very wise and very penetrative. Sabbe sankara anicchang, sabbe sankara dukkhang, then sabbe dhamma anatta. The third one is also very powerful, very meaningful. He said not only within the conditioned world. That's why the third one, he never says sabbe sankara anatta. If you say sabbe sankara anatta is correct too, but it's only one side. What about the unconditioned where there is no sankara, no content of consciousness, no mind? That one is also anatta, non-self, not a permanent unchanging entity that you can cling onto, grasp onto, hold onto, and say this is me, this is I. That's why according to the Buddhist teaching, for one who is awakened or enlightened, they will know There is no such thing as an eternal self, ultimate self, Atman or whatever. Even though other religion may believe it, but if you meditate, you realize that one is just a nature. A nature is not a being. It's not a self. It's not you. It's a nature. Like your spiritual nature, your karmic nature. That nature is not you. That nature exists within nature. But it's not a permanent unchanging entity. It's not a being. That's why sabbe dhamma anatta means whether it's the condition or the unconditioned, it's also anatta, that universal characteristic apply. So this understanding is very deep, very profound. And when you have the understanding, you become different. Okay, we will continue. So after we start walking on the path with clear eyes and steady feet, we will reach the word desire is not the correct word, our desire state. it should be another word. So I read again, then maybe we can replace it with another word. So after we start walking along the path with clear eye and steady feet, we will reach our destination. No need to use the word desire. Desire is a craving. You desire that state. The destination, which could be the realization of Nibbana, enlightened state. With love as the seed and wisdom as the means for cultivation, we can give rise to an aspiration. This is very true. So if you have love as a seed, you know what is a seed? A seed can grow. A seed can slowly germinate and grow. So if you have love as a seed, then wisdom as the means for cultivation. So you will grow that seed appropriately. So we can give rise to an aspiration. Then you can invoke power of merits for causes and conditions to fulfill your aspiration for wholesomeness. However, simply forming an aspiration is not enough. Only by taking concrete steps can we reach our goal or realize our pure wish, pure and good wishes. We have to learn to simultaneously exercise compassion and wisdom so that with clear eye and steady feet, we will reach the other shore or enlightenment. Exercising both compassion and wisdom is just like coordinating our eyes and feet. When walking forward, whether in our internal spiritual cultivation or external action, as long as we do not stray from compassion and wisdom, but we use clear eye to determine the correct direction and move forward earnestly with both feet, then we will avoid going down the wrong path. And we will be able to reach the other shore. No need to use the state we desire. So here I have to caution you a bit, because the author like to use with open eye to determine the correct direction. With open eye, you cannot, not necessarily can determine the correct direction of cultivation. A lot of deluded people also have eyes. Their eyes are also open, but they cannot see the path. To see the path, you need more than the physical eye. You need wisdom. You need right view. And right view, there are three, as described by the Buddha. First, we must have right view with regards to this law of karma, karma niyama. When you understand this law that governs life and existence, that is the beginning of wisdom. Then you follow the advice of the Buddha to respect this law through avoiding all evil, do good. Then after that, you purify your mind to develop further wisdom. So avoiding all evil is the first phase of cultivation. When you can do that, you avoid negativity or karma, you develop wholesomeness of mind state that leads to good karma, merits, blessing. But your life is not complete. Maybe you will have relatively good life, but you will have to confront the reality of life and existence, the first noble true reality. So without the third advice of the Buddha to purify your mind, to develop the wisdom so that you are not deluded by the reality of life and existence, especially confronting old age, sickness and death, even birth, confronting the reality of separation from loved ones and prized possession or things that we hold on to dearly. Then when you are with people whom you don't like, when you cannot get what you want, when things don't go your way, then you cannot understand who you are or what you are. You grasp at the five aggregate of form and mind, deludedly believe that you exist, you are real, that this human being is you. The form and mind is what you are. If you do this, you lack wisdom. You have self-delusion, sakkayadhiti, and you will still suffer. Your life will still be afflicted, miserable, despite whatever good merits and good blessing you may have. But suffering still afflicts you. So what you need is, the Buddha say, you have to develop two more right views. Apart from the law of karma, you must understand your mind, how your mind get yourself entangled and develop suffering, how it deludedly cling, grasps and hold and attach to things. We are self-delusion, ignorant. So this aspect of right view is very important. Right view with regards to our mind, citta niyama, how we function as a human being. We have to understand the great law of paticca samuppada, dependent origination, the dwelling. So this law of mind that explain clearly how we function as a human being and the citta nupassana is the second right view and most important. If you understand this, your life will be beautiful, you can be free. Then the third right view is a natural consequence of the first two. When you have the first two, you will understand the third. The third right view is law of truth, dhamma niyama. All of the essential Dhamma, the truth that the Buddha has taught us. So when you have the first two, you will understand the third right view. Unless you have these three right view with eyes open, you will also lose the way. But when you have these three important spiritual laws right view, karma niyama, citta niyama, and dhamma niyama, then your path is established. You will not deviate. Your cultivation will be very straight, very direct. That's why all great beings, the Samasambuddhas, they understand this teaching. That's why without sasana, it's not easy to have this teaching. So this teaching is very, very important, very useful. So you establish the three right view, spiritual law, karma niyama, citta niyama, and dhamma niyama. Then you are safe. before that, you are not safe. Then whatever you do after your cultivation, you will only develop two things. The first thing that most people force do not really pay attention to is, in cultivation, the only thing that free your mind and awaken you is wisdom. You must develop wisdom. Nothing else free you. Not all the fantastic meditation, the fantastic mind state, jhana, concentration, or even the word jnana, insight. If you cling and attach to all those words without understanding, without the wisdom, you will still be trapped. Your mind is still trapped. You cannot free. So to free your mind, you need wisdom. Then the moment you have wisdom, the very strange thing that happens is compassion and virtue become very natural. Without wisdom, there is no true compassion. Without wisdom, there is no virtue, true virtue. Otherwise, virtue according to the individual, good according to the individual. You need wisdom. When you have wisdom, it becomes very different. Everything you do becomes virtuous. That's why love and compassion is a natural consequence. Virtue is a natural consequence when wisdom is developed. So in the Mahayana teaching, they always talk about the bypass, the cultivation. They say you must cultivate virtue and wisdom. Yeah. Actually, when you understand, it is wisdom alone. With wisdom comes virtue, real virtue. True love, true compassion and virtue. Without wisdom, no way. So always remember to find the path, the truth. You must start on the right footing. With the right view, the three right views. Start with Kamma Niyama, like I taught you all how we actually develop the understanding of how the Buddha's teaching come about, how he sequenced out his teaching, how he started off by teaching the Buddhist way of cultivation, the pre-puja, the post-puja. Then the pre-puja, why we chant the salutation, why we take refuge, why we renew our precepts, why we chant the salutation to the Buddha, Dhamma, the Sangha, why we call it the triple gem, why must we take refuge. Then the puja offering, rejoicing, generosity, all of the very meaningful offering that shows the teaching. Let us recall to mind all of the important teaching, like impermanence. The fruits represent karmic friction or enlightenment. The friction, they call it. You go on the path, then there is friction. So Marga, Pala. Pala is the friction. When you become enlightened, you develop the friction. But Pala already an enlightened stage. You are on the path to enlightenment. Yeah. So the initial awakening is always Marga leading to Pala. Path and friction. Marga is path. Pala is friction. So Marga, Pala. So this understanding is very vital, very important. When we have all this understanding, we will not debate. Then the law of mind, Patijasamupada, dwelling, you need mindfulness, you need stability of mindfulness, the direct seeing. Otherwise you cannot understand mind. You must, through that mindfulness and awareness, realize the true mind, and you understand that the true mind is your true nature within the awareness nature, the silent mind, the meditative mind, the one that is capable of awakening the unconditioned. Whereas the other one is the creative one, the mundane mind. That one is dependent, originating, condition, arising, causal phenomena with the universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, anatta. So without a stable mindfulness or awareness nature, you cannot penetrate citta niyama. No way. And without citta niyama, sati, you cannot understand dhamma niyama, the true dhamma. You cannot understand. So this was summarized to cultivate what are the two real path to cultivate. So this understanding is a lot more deeper and clearer than what you have listened just now. Because from the text, they use very mundane way of approach, saying that with clear eye so that you can see clearly. But the path, you cannot see with a clear eye alone, unless that clear eye has wisdom behind, penetrated the three spiritual law, law of karma, law of mind, and law of truth. They inspire all to develop bodhicitta. So bodhicitta is very important. With infinite compassion, they relieve the suffering of sentient beings. So this one is talking about the great beings, the bodhisattvas. So bodhicitta is very important. Bodhi is enlightenment. Citta is mind. So the enlightened mind, bodhicitta. So your ability to develop bodhicitta is very important. Okay. So the subheading, they inspire all to develop bodhicitta. This is what Sammasambuddha and great beings like bodhisattvas, they will do. If you don't plant the seed of bodhi, the bodhi mind, to walk the path of love, compassion, and wisdom, which is the bodhisattva way, you cannot become Sammasambuddha. That's why they inspire all to develop bodhicitta, the bodhi mind, the enlightened mind, to walk the path of the bodhisattva, means the bodhisattva way. Then with infinite compassion, this is very true, they relieve the suffering of sentient beings. So compassion is really needed. But without wisdom, there is no true compassion. That's why the great beings, they are enlightened beings, they have developed the wisdom already. So as they walk this path, they develop more and more perfection of wisdom. Then their compassion grew and become more and more developed until finally it becomes infinite. So with infinite compassion, they can really help relieve suffering of sentient beings. So the Sutra of Infinite Meaning states that with their wisdom, as bright and impartial as the sun and the moon, they apply skillful means according to the proper timing and condition. They support and develop the work of the great vehicle and lead all to readily achieve anuttara, samyat, sambohi. This is Sammasambuddhahood. They abide in the state of bliss, wondrous truth, wisdom and compassion. They abide in the state of bliss, wondrous and true. Then wisdom and compassion are like the sun and the moon. This one is just an analogy, I think. Because the analogy is like the sun, very bright. ever shining, very, very bright. So wisdom is compared to the sun's ray, which is very, very bright and can shine very far. Whereas compassion is like the moon's reflection when the sunlight falls on it. So they use it as an analogy. The bright light from the sun can illuminate everything in the world, and the luminous moonlight can light our way at night. So this is just an analogy. Both bring light to sentient beings living in this world with others. We must have wisdom and compassion like the sun and the moon. Means the importance of sun and moon, because we are interconnected. Actually, without the sun, there is not enough energy to sustain life on this planet, on our solar system. That's why we need the sun, the solar energy that is responsible for a lot of things. The heat, not only the heat, the solar power. And from the sun's ray, the photosynthesis that actually trigger the plant's photosynthesis process. Through photosynthesis, you develop the growth of plants, fruits, trees, everything. Then it helps in the recycling of the atmosphere. Photosynthesis is the reverse of human breathing process. We take in oxygen and release carbon dioxide. Whereas photosynthesis take in carbon dioxide and releases oxygen. So without the green plants, all this process of photosynthesis by all these plants and trees or the forest, our life cycle cannot be sustained. Our environment cannot be sustained. And without the sun's ray, we cannot have weather and other things. And also without the sun's gravity, we cannot keep our planet on its axis rotating. And without the moon, there is no pull on our ocean and our water masses and all those things. And we have day and night. At least during the night, we can still see the moon. The moon is quite far away. So it's like a reflection from the sun on the moon. So there is some form of light. That's why when you see the full moon, the night is clearer. But it's on the new moon, hardly much light. So all these are just analogy, synergy or analogy. We also need to use different methods to help to relieve sentient beings of their suffering. Sentient beings have 84,000 afflictions, and thus the Buddha opened 84,000 Dhamma doors. This is the same as the way a skilled doctor prescribes medicine based on the symptoms of people's illness. The Buddha taught according to the people's capability, adapting to the listeners, the location and the time. This is applying skillful means according to the proper timing and condition. Because the Buddha has such perfection, it has perfected all possibility of wisdom. That's why Prajna Paramita, perfection of wisdom, it has perfected it. So because of that, it has the all-knowing knowledge, the wisdom and understanding to train living beings. That's why he is a leader of man and God, the trainer without comparison. With nobody can train living being to become enlightened better than the Samasambuddha. That's why his nine great virtue, very unique. Sashindi is the blessed one. He is the worthy one. He is the blessed one. And he is the fully enlightened one. That's why we chant Iti Peso Bhagava Arahang Sama Sambuddha. So all these are the nine great virtue. This 84,000 Dhammadhamma shows to you that there are infinite number of ways to approach the Dhamma, to teach the Dhamma, to share the Dhamma. So the word 84,000 is just an indicative, figurative, big number, so that it is big enough to be applied. So here, the Buddha, because of his wisdom and understanding, his all-knowing knowledge, he can actually, based on the individual's capacity or path, he will know how to teach them accordingly, approach them accordingly. So to do this is not easy. You must have long period of cultivation, long period of perfection and all those things. So all this needs perfection, cultivation. Then you have to be very good, otherwise you can't. So to be a Sammasambuddha is not easy. I read on. The Buddha taught according to people's capabilities, adapting to the listener, the location, and the time. This is applying skillful means according to proper timing and condition. Okay, we have done that. The Buddha teaches us to use our wisdom to eliminate ignorance and straighten our greedy, selfish mindset. Now, this is very important. You have to use wisdom to root out ignorance. Here they use the word eliminate, also can root out ignorance, and straighten your view. Straighten out your greedy, selfish mindset means change that wrong view. He also hoped that we can advance even further to give rise to our truistic intention and make great vows to dedicate ourselves to the spiritual mission of benefiting both ourselves and others. So this one is very important. Altruistic intention and make great vows. So these are great beings' quality. So without this altruistic intention and making of great vow to dedicate ourselves to the spiritual mission of benefiting both ourselves and others, you cannot walk this bodhisattva path. This is how we can support and develop the work of the great vehicle. See? So it's synergy. So maybe because of condition, I will make use of this to share a little bit why the Mahayana, when they sometimes you read certain Mahayana books, the author will tend to explain it this way. They say the sainthood way, the arahant way, means they are in a way a little bit selfish, but please don't go and say this thing or quote me. But this is something I want to share so that you understand. Because there is a lot of misconception, argument, and controversy. I will explain that also. So initially, they tend to have this saying, is it the Arahant is not fully enlightened like Sammasambuddha? That one I think everybody can accept. But when they say the Arahant still have a little bit of selfishness, well, that one they cannot take it. Because to them, The Arahant is the enlightened being, no more greed, hatred, and delusion, no more selfishness. But you must understand why the Mahayana teaching says that. They say the sinful way, the Arahant way, they only work hard to help themselves to realize enlightenment in the here and the now. Means they strive to liberate themselves. They don't help others. That's why they say, in a way, they are still having this. To them, is the subtle selfishness, in the sense that they don't have the great compassion to actually help others. Whereas the bodhisattva, they help themselves, and at the same time, they help others. So it's a synergy. When they walk the path of the bodhisattva, they make those vows to liberate living beings, to take them all across. Then all their vows actually is geared towards the cultivation, the perfection. Without this vow, they cannot come. Without this vow, they cannot develop the pure mind. The pure mind of great love and compassion, they come for the living beings. Then they vow to endure and severe all suffering, means they must develop the wisdom to enable them to go through all form of tests, all form of condition, to fulfill this vow. And to do that, you need to come back for very, very long period of cultivation, minimum 3 to 4 world cycle, asankhya kappas. So all these are great understanding that the great beings have to go through. So because of that, just now in the book, we have that sharing from the author. They have altruistic intention, and they make great vows to help liberate sentient beings. And when they do that, they cultivate sincerely to help themselves and to help others. So there is this Mahayana understanding. But the Theravada, the one they argue, are not the Arahant or the saint. The one they argue are the Theravada traditions, believer or cultivator, that call themselves Theravada. So they always say the Buddha is also an Arahant. Understand? You're under the chanting, Ittipeso Bhagava Arahant Sama Sambuddha. So he is the Arahant, and yet he is the Sama Sambuddha. So an Arahant is also free of ignorance. So how can you say he still have a little bit of selfishness? All these are based on misunderstanding, because when you argue this way, you don't want to understand the intent, the meaning behind. The meaning behind is they say because they only cultivate for self-enlightenment, means saving yourself, liberating your mind. Then after that, the rest has nothing to do with you. So in that sense, they view it with a little bit of less compassion, less compassionate. So that's why they say they still have a little bit of selfishness, because the self enlightenment is involved. They believe they can work hard for their own enlightenment. So initially, if you are not careful, you walk the Theravada way or cultivation. If you believe there is a self to get enlightened, you can be trapped. That one can be a trap. Ultimately, when you awaken, you will come to realize the form and mind is not a permanent and changing entity. It's not you. That's why he know you, he know me. But when it awaken, the mind realizes itself and awaken, and it goes to the cessation, the realization of Nibbana. Then the mind ceases to be. Then that form of mind, you can say, is enlightened, but it's not you. Then you can say he's an Arahant, because that wisdom that he awakened to prevent him from having ignorance. That's why there is no more rebirth, and that is his last birth. After that, he don't come back again. Well, he doesn't know how to continue to come back to the Bodhisattva way. So this is how you can actually develop the understanding. Okay, so that part I just add in and for benefit of some of you, but don't use it to argue with people or explain. Forget about it. They can't understand. Unless you have the Dhamma already, then you want to explain, you can. Huh? Okay, we continue a bit more. The Buddha teaches us to use wisdom. Oh, this one I have covered. Benefiting both ourselves and others. Okay. This is how we can support and develop the work of the Great Vehicle. Okay, we will hear. Thus, in the five period of the Buddha's teaching, at the very end, he encouraged the follower of the small vehicle by commanding. By commanding followers of the Great Vehicle, so that all sentient beings might quickly attain the state of Bodhi. His hope was that sentient beings, after being guided with many kinds of skillful means, would grasp and enter the true Dhamma. So this is the basic fundamental reason why when Sakyamuni Buddha came, he just taught the Four Noble Truths and his tree turning, and nothing much is thought about the Bodhisattva way, because the urgency is to get people on the path, to walk the path, so that they have the basic teaching. Then when they have the condition and the parami, it's very easy to use this skillful means to transform their compassion or intend to go the long way, the greater vehicle way. They will be motivated, but not everybody can think that way. That's why you need the numbers. It's like if you want to have universities to maybe produce a lot of graduates, but you have to have primary school students, isn't it? Then you must allow these primary school students to develop the education, and they go through exam, and not all can pass to go to lower secondary, then upper secondary, then last time we have form 6, and then only the very handful towards the end goes to university. And when you go to university, most of them will graduate, because in the uni very difficult to fail. The percentage is very small. But we have to understand all this can change. It's just like in the early days during my time. I remember my brother's time, my elder brother, even primary school, many people drop out. Then lower secondary, after that time was called LCE, or they call SRP in Malay. During my brother's time, it's very difficult to even reach secondary school, lower secondary. So if you can reach lower secondary, you got chance to become a teacher or apply to be a nurse and all those things. But later on during my time, like all of those in primary school automatically go to form 1, lower secondary. Now only at lower secondary the exam, Sometimes people feel they cannot go to form 4, form 5. Then after form 4, form 5, a lot more will fail, and those who go to form 6 are only a handful. I remember during my time, form 5, we have, I think, about 10 or 12 classes. But when it goes to form 6, we are left with only 2. Then we form another class, 3 classes, because for other school that don't have form 6. So almost 80% is gone, or about 80% is gone. Then out of this balance of 20% or less that took the form 6 exam, not everybody go to uni, but quite a big percentage. Yeah? For my school, I think out of the 3 classes, about 120 of our students, I think there's almost 100 students go to the university. So that time, actually, the numbers become very small. So the training of this Bodhisattva way is also the same. Those who really make it, they are like very few towards the end. But just like education, nowadays I saw my daughter's generation and the new generation. Now graduate is like very normal, very easy to find. Almost everybody graduate. So cultivating the Bodhisattva way is also the same. So when the understanding is there, when the sasana is there, when people are able to develop it, the condition is so favorable, and high percentage of cultivator can really go that way. So this is what sasana is all about, good condition is all about. So you can have all this, you will be able to benefit. So we are on this golden window, which is the Sakyamuni sasana, and it's very beautiful, so do make use of it. Okay, he wished for them to not cling to the small and narrow road, or to keep spinning in place, but to quickly enter the wide and direct Bodhisattva path. That's what I mean. They encourage them to go the greater vehicle way, the Bodhisattva way. If the direction of our spiritual practice is correct, if we are on the right path, then we will feel at ease. If we are uncertain of our direction, then there will be hesitant or ill at ease. Always asking for direction. As a result, our mind will be confused and it will be difficult to move forward. Only when we are clearly aware of the correct path can we then move forward and abide in the state of bliss and wondrous. In the state of bliss, wondrous and true. And this is very beautiful. Very true. Okay, we stop here. So we will stop here. Then we will open up for meditation reporting, followed by Q&A, question and answer. Then also maybe some form of Dharma in daily life, sharing by Kaya Mitas.
那我就 share 我 Thursday 的 experience 吧。啊，可以啊。嗯。Thursday, actually Thursday, 我2点多就醒了。嗯。然后我就没有 aversion, 就我就 stay, 起来就 做一点点 some reading. After that, 到 around 3点多4点，我又再去睡觉。
嗯。
Then 我就 continue 我的 routine. Then 我就去我的 the old house for gardening.
嗯。
Then continue with as we approach the old house, then the 那个 fridge 就坏了。
哦 ，OK。
So you know.所以冰箱坏了，这样子我就把所有的东西拿出来，拿出来之后，然后我就 continue, 感觉就好像 就很乱，这样就哇，就一直在收拾收拾收拾收拾。所以当我在收拾的过程里面哦，其实我没有发觉到任何东西，我就是把东西全部分类啊，垃圾分类啊，全部就 after that 就到了下午吃完饭了之后。其实那个冰箱，我们出去买东西的时候回来，又在停电了。At first 我们心想是那个 plug 的问题，其实是那个 fridge itself 已经坏了，the whole thing。But 这个 in and out fridge，in and out fridge，like few times。And then，在这个整个的过程里面，我发觉到我的 mind 没有被 disturb，
那个很好。
很 peaceful 的去把所有的东西都处理好，
Very good.
然后就回到家，大概5点多的时候，就有一个段，哎呦，好累哦，不要煮饭了。然后可是你会不行就去做。当我吃完饭，然后我不是跟别人就讲我很踏实的过了一整天这样子的。Then 我发觉到 there's a like how to say it there's a peaceful thing within it's like awareness within that
You can
flow
have
in。
that kind of mind, yes.
就好像很平静，那
对。
种平静的过了那一整天的 experience，让我明白到，就是你要很 relax 的去做每一样事情，就是在当下你就是做，是做就对了，就没有太多的想法。而且你也不能说你要怎样又要怎样又要怎样，你就
你不会有那
做。
个念头 of frustration 啊
对，
，unhappiness 啊，那个没有了。That is what a cultivator will as a
对，就
cultivator
是，就
to
是
check
他就是你可以感受到里面有一个那个很平静的那种啊，
对。
而
没有，好
且。
像以前 complain 啊，
对，以前就是like no，
不高兴啊，不爽啊，为什么这样啊？那个念头全部灭了，
对，他那个念头就是没有一点都没有起来，就是
对
这样，
，because 你已经有那个 initial wisdom 了解了，所以你能够 not only 接受，你也能够 throughout the day。该做的你就用心去做，that's why that perseverance, that mindfulness, that awareness, you just do, then nothing to know，你也不会去想，哎呦，为什么这样，哎呀，then 为什么那个 fish 整天出问题，然后 say no, because that is a reality, condition like that, things will be like that, so 你能接受的时候啊，is like what you will experience。你能够平静下来，even after a tired day，你也能够平静下来。你要该做的，你会去做，you will just do what you supposed to do。要 when the fridge is like without electricity or trip or spoil，then the food most of them will become a problem because this is your old house. You seldom go back there, and I don't think anybody is staying there, is it? So because of that, you will have to sort out a lot of things, clear it, clean it, then maybe throw away all those that you need to throw away. But you will know how to do it with wisdom, with understanding, and you will just diligently do, patiently do, without any complaint or what. Then you can sometimes laugh at it too, because that is the way life is. Condition like that, things be like that. And sometimes you just laugh because you can see like what you experience. You are no longer like before. Before, the mind cannot accept all these things. Ayo, why I so stupid, knowing that the fish is like that. So there is a lot of, I shouldn't have done this, I shouldn't have done that, or I should have taken action earlier on. And if I know this brand is no good, I don't want to buy to buy. So 那些念头, keep on arising. So I used to explain to cultivator in the early days, I said, the best way to see whether you have progress or not is to see how stable your mind is, how peaceful you are throughout the day. Peace not because you are meditating or in a conditioned state. Peace because nothing can affect you anymore. Then the very good sign is when you are more and more mindful, you are more and more heedful, you have less thought, less sankhara, less aversion, less dislike, less stirring of the mind and unhappiness. So these are the signs that is very clear, very important. If your mind state is already composed, despite confronting situation, problem, and yet you can be at peace, and you can just accept the reality and be at peace and experience the peaceful, wondrous, like what is described in the text just now. I read to you again. You abide in a state of bliss, wondrous and true. That is your true mind. Not only is peaceful, there is clarity. There is, like you say, the state is so beautiful. You are in that tranquil stillness. And most of the time you are peaceful and calm. So that is the sign of a cultivator, which is very good. Sadhu to you, Alicia, 很好. 还有什么吗?
谢谢, Virgil. 其实在这个 experience 里面我明白到一件事就是, 其实不是你要怎样去 aware, 怎样去什么, 你就是要很自然的
relax, very naturally,
去,对, 很自然的, 才能够有, without you knowing, so 我觉得是很可贵,很难得的,
very amazing,
yes,
like I Putin always say, wow, so amazing, so beautiful, it can be like that, so this is very different from those who, after listening to this radio, then they try to be in that state of mind. That one won't work on you. That one is a mundane mind wanting to be peaceful. Then they like suppress all the emotion. Do la brother, they say do. So don't want to complain. That one is suppression. But like Alicia say, if it happened naturally without knowing you knowing it, then finally when you realize, when you are settled down, then you will have this understanding, like many Kayamita came to know, that they have become different. How come they don't react like last time? They don't complain like last time. Their mind state is so different now. They are not agitated, not annoyed, and not disturbed at all, despite what happened. Like in the early day, I remember, I used to laugh and smile at all these things, because when it happened, normally people cannot take it. People become very unhappy. Then I can see the sign, then I will know. Then sometimes it's a test for you to go through. Then when you understand all this, the test persists. Then it will turn around and you become beautiful again. So a lot of understanding that come through cultivation is part of the way. When you cultivate and track the Bodhisattva way or the path of cultivation correctly and appropriately, all this will manifest. All this will show up and you will understand. That's why like Po Cheng used to share, it is so amazing. Is it whatever she experienced or she go through, I can explain and put it in words so clearly because my nature has done it. So all this is really amazing. Like now Alicia share on this, unless you have gone through this part of the cultivation, you cannot understand what actually happened. So to try to behave like Alicia or behave in a way that like you are not affected, no use, because that is not the real understanding, the real wisdom. The real wisdom, when it happened, the mind naturally know what to do, and it just do. It's just at peace, no problem, no longer reacting. And the smile will come out, the joy will come out. Sometimes you will know, ha ha, coming again. So you have to go through, you have to understand. Then you persevere. That's why I say perseverance. When you are sincere, you have the faith, you only need to persevere, just do. Your stability or wisdom will stabilize. You will have that understanding, keep on reminding you, like Uniso, Monasikara, like that, condition like that, things will be like that. So you're free, whatever happens, because the condition is like that. Sometimes it's a test, sometimes it's nature's condition, because the old house, you are not staying there. Then most of the time, whatever you have in the house, if there is nobody to attend to, it will start to deteriorate faster, collect dust and all this thing. So all this you will come to experience. Then the floor, everything, because you didn't have the upkeeper, the dust, they will collect. Then whatever that is not attend to, you realize it will start to decay and run down and all this thing. So this is part of nature, part of reality, part of life, and we will experience them. We will see them, we will witness them. So this is beautiful. Eh? Thank you so much, Alicia Sadhu.
Thank you. Experience with my sister.
Ah, okay.
Actually, in a few weeks ago,我就打电话，通常我是没有打，那天我不懂为什么我会打，然后我就打电话，然后他就一拿起电话，我就 as usual 我就问他你好吗这样子，然后我就讲，他就很生气的讲我不好，然后。哇！我就嗅到哇，那个火已经烧上来了。
是啊，是啊。
然后我就听他讲，然后他就 with some misunderstanding with 他的 husband。
Oh, no wonder.
然后他就 full of anger, you know, like, you know, I can see the way.
Yeah.
Like last time, what I did.
Correct. What you have gone through,
Yes.
You
so
can
I
see the same. The same deluded way unfolding.
Right. So 我就从他的话里面把他那个话又丢回给他自己去思考。
Yeah.
然后就用我的一点点的 Dharma understanding 跟他讲，是因为你自己抓得太紧。
对，
然后搞到你自己这么的辛苦，我讲 life 不是这样子过的，然后跟他讲，跟他解释，然后 surprisingly 他很快又收到，又知道怎么样，就我就跟他讲，最主要你要把你自己的心管好，然后把你的心。去看怎样训练你自己，强大你的心啊，然后就是他又很快又 OK 了。Then after that, and then through the conversation, I didn't realize after that, 我在原来可以这样子的去 advise 他。
Very simple, actually very simple.
对，就他整个人就整个人就开心起来，然后就。然后我就 full of joy， 我讲哦，原来我可以这样子帮到他。
可以的，可以的。
所以我很感恩，我很感恩 Brad 就在 Brad 就这里所学的，能够实践在我的生活里面。然后就可以，对，所以感觉到很 amazing， 那个佛法真的是其实
很
简单，很
简单，很奥妙。
如果你明白的话，你就很简单的就
yeah,
就让他们明白，而不需要用太多很花巧的字
呀
啊，什么
呀呀，
什么，
不
然
需
后，
要，对，
对，所以很感恩在 Brazil 自
好的，
己
好
学
的。
到的，然后能够自己的慢慢把我的习气慢慢的改过来，
呀，
然后我希望我发愿能够帮到更多的人啦。
呀，
等我自立了之后，我就
好
利
的，
他，就走
呀
菩
呀
萨
呀，
道这样子。
好的，好
So
的，很好，
just about 我的 sharing 啊，Brazil，
好的，好的，
就
很
是这
好，
样。萨都感恩 Brazil，
对
感
的，
恩呀。
呀，沙丢，沙丢，沙丢，很好，So these are the sharing that you will be able to actually share when you have the Dhamma, when you have done the cultivation correctly. You can be a blessing to others, to more and more people. Like Alicia's case is starting with the sister. And later on, she can help other people too. Because recently also, my daughter and we also came across a very young, not couple, boyfriend, girlfriend. Oh, couple, not yet married.
Maybe also temporary.
So I think about 23 or 24 years old. One is 23, one is 24. So one of them going through life, quite tough. Confronting first noble truth reality, especially the sixth and the seventh one, then means since the school days, she had problem and all those things. Then the boyfriend was okay actually. then they were just a new graduate, I think. One of them just came out to work, the boyfriend. The girlfriend didn't work, but intend to go for master program. She finished her internship. And because of family problem and background and all those things, so she developed some form of depression. Then the boyfriend knew. Then the girlfriend also knew. So once to seek answer and solution. So what happened was, the boyfriend's mother was a good friend of Christina. So Christina came to my house and brought the mother many months back. The mother recovered now, after that short session, become very different, beautiful. And the son can see the big difference, the changes. So because of that, when the girlfriend mentioned that, the son went and asked the mother, who is this brother Theo? Can we also consult him and all this thing? So that's how the mother contacted me. Then I say, now MCO very difficult. If you don't meet in person, it's very difficult. But amazing is technology, my daughter suggests Zoom. So we had a Zoom session, and the two of them are really, after hearing and the sharing of the session, like Alicia mentioned, wow, they can smile, they can laugh, they know what to do already. Amazing, young people. Normally this type of young people, 23, 24, back a time for Dhamma. But these two were amazing. They were beautiful, with great potential, and they are so keen to listen. And I realize I share this Dhamma using very simple day-to-day language with young people who don't have exposure to any Buddhist teaching one. Very easy to go in. Even meditation also teach them very straightforward, relax, maintain awareness, no need to think, silent. Oh, they can understand. So beautiful. So this is really amazing. Then my daughter also help out, share the part of her experience to them. And because they are youth, when they see my daughter, they also feel much better because of my daughter's present. So we had a very good session. So this Zoom really helped. So nowadays, no need to come in person. Yeah, your MCO still on. So later, maybe after MCO, when there's condition to meet, we can meet. So this Dhamma, like Alicia says, is very beautiful, very useful. It can help many people. And it's indeed very simple. When you understand, you can share it easily. No need to like memorize anything. Because like Alicia, she went through life herself. You can see when the sister is having problem with us, but it's just a very typical deluded, heedless living being with the wrong view and the wrong thought, creating their own misery and suffering. That's why the phone call, the immediately after she called, went through, he can feel the forehead, I mean, the anger, the emotion, the unhappiness, like want to cry out and complain, because frustrated at what happened and all those things. So Alicia let her speak, let her say and release it out. It's very good to be a good listener initially, then understand her problem, then after that, teach her how to turn around, because life is not so difficult to understand. Like I explained, very beautiful, I said, our life, we hold the key to our own life destiny. To be happy or to be unhappy is entirely our choice. So we must choose to be happy. Then why are we unhappy? How come all these things can affect us? It's only a thought. How come it can make us so miserable and unhappy? So these are the more appropriate tools for us to use. Therefore, Alicia, because she turned around in a different way, she can share with her sister. She said, open up your heart, 思想, 宽一点, means don't be so close. Selfish thinking, the ego, emotional, means lock yourself out and become miserable over all these things. Have a kind heart. Don't try to control people, their life, let them live. If you share all this with people, they understand. Your life, you also don't want to be controlled, isn't it? So, relationship, spouse, husband and wife, or brothers and sisters, or even parents and children, you have to understand. Our relationship is based on understanding each other, and we have to have that good understanding so that we can resolve things or issues amicably. Their life, let them decide, let them live. Your duty is to advise. So don't overstep the line. So all these things will help. Then have goodness, have kindness, be loving, be joyful. Then also have what they call gratitude. Then speak appropriately. You have to develop the embodiment of Noble Eightfold Path. Especially right thought leading to right speech, right action, and the four right effort, the right view, to resolve things amicably so that nobody get hurt, so that everybody is happy. When you follow Noble Eightfold Path, you will have no more negativity. Then you can resolve issues amicably. Then there is joy. Then when they listen to you, they also feel at peace, and they can have faith in you, because like Alicia's case, I think the sister must have known she turned around so beautifully. Among the family, the brother, sister, even the in-law said they know Alicia last time was so deeply in the state of depression, 17 years, and she turned around so beautifully. That's why the sister decided to call her. So many things can be resolved when you understand, when you are willing to seek help. Then you must seek those who have the ability to help you. And you have the good karma, the good affinity. It's not difficult. Sometimes you ask around, your friend may have. It's like all people can help. Just like Christina's case. He actually helped many people, Christina. Christina is like Suyan, brought quite a number to come and see me. And they turn around beautifully. Okay.
Ratio.
Ah, yes, Pak Masuri, yeah, Sadhu, yeah.
Ratio, I would like to take this opportunity to thank Brother Teo, Mrs. Teo.
Oh, Sadhu, can.
And all Kayamamitas.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And give me all the support.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The vulnerable truth.
Yes, 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 yes.
Actually, I went through the whole process.
Yeah. You had very, very good experience.
Yes.
And not easy.
Quite amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
Quite amazing experience.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it's beautiful. Your experience is very useful. It's very tough, actually, not easy.
I was very calm throughout.
Yeah, 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 Sadhu.
I realized not much thought.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
During the week with the
yeah camp. Yeah your sharing and all those things yeah
I realized I didn't react to
yeah
what people say.
Yes, you were calm, you were composed, I can see.
Yes, yes. And I just do what I need to do. I
yes
just do
that one most important where you did your duty very well.
Yes.
You and Brother Tim, very
yes,
beautiful.
Us, mainly, yeah, it's
yeah,
the main one.
Yeah, so, because you all have the Dhamma. Otherwise, not easy, I tell you.
Not easy with
yeah
so many relatives. And,
yes, yes, yes. Not
that's
easy.
Such
yeah
a big family.
Yes, 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 yes.
But everything was very smooth.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We are from different faith.
Yeah.
We are from different
yeah
faith.
And they
many
were.
They have many ways of thinking and
correct, correct.
I really learn a lot of things and some. It's amazing that I can, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not to react to what the way they do things and the
correct,
the way,
correct. Where well, they are
I
just
realize,
the way they are. We have to give them space.
Yes,
then we
yes
work on consensus. Because the father belonged to so many brothers and sisters, not only two brothers too. Then you
yeah,
are
yeah, yeah
only the daughter-in-law, so there is
and
a
I'm
lot.
The last one out of all, I'm the last one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Means you have the least voice.
Yes.
But I think the Zoom help a lot. The Zoom help to change the
yes
image
yes
and all the outlook, because it show what you all join the group that do the Zoom for you and do all those things.
It sort of changed their view.
Yes, completely changed.
Changed their view completely.
I can feel their emotion and their outlook. We are those.
How we should take care of our
yeah
mother,
parents,
that,
yes.
That they help us to carry out our
duty.
to carry out our duty.
Yeah, very beautiful. That's why that
yes
session, Zoom session was very beautiful.
Yes,
so
yes
we should thank those people who organize it, especially Sui An, Brother Chim, the MC, and Engi,
yes,
who did the chanting.
Engi,
then Sui, they all set up the thing, Chin Hao, and many others. Then
and everyone who attended.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The Kayamita that actually logged in that day, almost 48. Oh, I checked the connection.
I feel that the Kayamamita really give me a lot of support.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's why.
Another.
That's why you make use of this opportunity and condition.
Yeah, they really give me
to express your thing. Yeah.
Go through the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
One day when we went to visit him, actually ever since that he is quite sick. When
yeah,
he
yeah, yeah.
All knew that maybe this is his last journey.
Correct. Yes.
From then, actually we are quite prepared for it.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
To go through it, to know it is one thing. To
yeah,
know,
yeah, yeah. To experience the whole thing
really
is different again.
It's
yeah
really different.
Yeah.
It's very different.
Yes. Also, you all have the blessing of the Dhamma. Because of the Dhamma, you all not only have the understanding, it shows you the sign. The false alarm, you remember? Brother Tim say?
Yes, that one makes him prepare.
For all those things. Otherwise, he will not look into all those things.
Yes.
That one helps him. And everything falls into place. Everything falls into place. Yeah, beautifully.
Very smoothly. Yeah.
And also, what you share with me, Brother Tim share with me about how your father-in-law, before the last meal, still eat very well, and he passed away peacefully. And
he was very happy that day. He
correct.
Very well. That's
yeah.
I didn't actually Monday. I didn't expect it because Sunday I feed him.
Yes, and the brothers.
He looked quite okay, you know.
Yeah. The brothers and sister, and even their children, the one that locked in Paul, they were so happy that their grandpa have a very peaceful and happy death without much problem and suffering. So they were very happy. When they heard that, they were very happy. Because this one need condition for people to understand. That's why a lot of them will move to tears. Then the brother in Jakarta, he wish if no MCO, he really want to be present.
Yes, he was trapped there.
That's why he was so emotional when he shared.
He wanted to come back, but he was trapped there.
Yeah.
He was the one who always stay away.
Seldom home.
Suddenly, like, lost the father.
It was beautiful. Well, my daughter also haven't seen a Buddhist wake chanting before. She find it amazing, witnessing one. And he commended Brother Jim, he said, wow, the MC was very professional. Yeah, he did very well that day. Yeah. So, at least people now know Buddhist wake can be something very meaningful too.
And it sort of like open up, change their view towards...
Correct.
Towards how Buddhist...
Buddhist religion. Buddhist thought. They were very surprised, people willing to like help do all these things and prepare for all these things. The chanting is the one that inspired them. That one really very beautiful. Then a little bit of sharing here and there also help. So all this are meant to be. That's why we also rejoice.
I was very amazing that everything fall into place.
That is what Dhamma is all about. When there is Dhamma, everything go your way. No need to worry.
We don't have to worry.
No need to prepare. Everything will go in accordance, appropriately.
That's like you keep telling me, virtues protects
you. Yes. Virtue protects you.
The nature's law will protect you.
Correct. If you live in accordance with Dhamma, Dhamma will take care of your life. And you will have the good life. That's why it's very beautiful, very amazing. That's why you ask the cultivator, like Po Cheng, everybody who gone through it, very amazing. Even Alicia, they all, and even Amy, and Sao, Jin Hao, they all, and many, many Kayamita. My nature also rejoices. A lot of them progress, even that day Jin Hao also progress. Mindfulness has come in for Jin Hao, Sadhu. Really very beautiful.
Initially, I still have a bit of worry that I'm going to face the relatives, so many of them.
Yeah.
Because before this, we have some arguments also.
Yeah. Common such a big family, sure, bound to have difference of opinions.
But it seems that I was really amazed by myself.
Yeah, Sadhu.
I can just do, and then, the surrounding doesn't bother me.
Yeah.
The phenomena around me, what people say, what people do, it doesn't bother me.
Yeah.
People come and complain to me, it's not that I have no reaction. I know that things happen, but I'm just silent and quiet.
Yeah, that is the best.
I,
no need to say anything, otherwise it becomes worse. It becomes worse. Because when there is no condition, when people cannot understand, it's better to keep quiet. Oh, okay. Thank you so much for informing. Just let it die down. Otherwise, you try to like say something, I tell you, this word will go. Then people will come back in all sorts of funny argument. Forget about it. My daughter want to share something. Yeah.
Sadhu, sister, Mama Suri, I find that very beautiful, but it's because I see a very big difference between what you're sharing now and one of the observations I had during one of the retreats when you were in charge of all the duty and everything. I remember you got very worked up when people don't do their duty or didn't turn out or come late and they complain to you they don't want
Cameron
to wash
Island.
Dishes because and you had to make all the arrangements. I remember although you handled it, but that time you were very much affected by it. And we could all see. Now you are very different now.
Yeah, change a lot. Change for the better, Sadhu. Good.
I shared during the funeral.
Yeah, you can share.
The other
day
we were very busy. Both of us were very busy. Mm. Because we have to make many arrangements. And after that, after the cremation, we choose to pick put the bones, the remains on the same day.
Mm.
So after the cremation, we have to wait for the thing to cool down.
Yeah.
There is a prayer in my house. So I came back for the prayers. I rushed back to my house for the prayers, and I go back, and the cremation finishes at 11 something, so 12 o'clock is lunch. So I ordered them ready. So I was worried that I got no lunch, so I called one of my niece. I said, please reserve 4 packets for us, because 4 of us came back to plus the nuns and the... And Tune and myself. Reserve 4 packet of lunch for us. So we rush back. And before we finish our lunch, some of the relatives were so, they would get very impatient because the weather is getting a bit hot.
1 o'clock.
So they said, quick, we go and finish the job, and they want to go back already. My lunch, I was still eating my lunch. And the other boy who come and help start giving me water, quickly swallow my food.
Yeah.
I didn't react, I was
He
was standing there.
Very good, Sadhu.
I drink and so I work together with them. I didn't get any, there's no anger. I can observe that there's no anger, there's no
anger. you have changed.
I can see the difference already.
Sadhu.
I can see.
That is what cultivation is all about. Otherwise, that mundane mind react very fast. Then the emotion inside stir very fast. Very good, Sadhu. That's why you need certain event to actually let you understand.
I still walk together with them, still go to the place where we are supposed to wait. And I can still see the two lines on the pillars. So, 叫我先来, 就说有一天, 我每一个人都会来到这个地方。对。
哇, So, the crematorium, is it in that building itself or somewhere away?
It's in that same part, but we have to walk
A short distance.
A short distance,
about
3 minutes away from the
way. The building is very nice, very well built.
But I have a video, but they we follow the Mahayana way. Us something no, 诸法因缘起，诸法因缘灭.
Oh, good. That is good. Yeah.
Only we say something. The word is something like that. Only when we have wisdom, only...
You can understand, otherwise you cannot understand.
Yes, only wisdom
can liberate us.
Wisdom can liberate us. The last sentence.
Correct.
Only wisdom
can liberate your mind. Nothing else.
Then the coffin slowly go into the window and then
Sadhu, sadhu, very good. They do it the Buddhist way.
Actually, it's a very good occasion for me. Actually, for me, I learn a lot and I recollect a lot of things that, you know, after that, 2-3 hours later, come out, it's just one plate of
water. Yeah.
It's really this form, you can see that this form goes back to the nature.
Yeah. Because it is part of nature. The body goes the way of nature. It's within the conditioned world. So it makes up all elements. Elements belong to nature. You will understand all those things. And that place...
To experience and see it is really...
Definitely.
It's really different.
Yeah, very different. And that place, the energy is very good, surprisingly. I went there. It's so different from the ordinary, where they call crematorium area. The energy is very good,
They did a lot of chanting. They did a lot of chanting.
Oh, no wonder. The vibration and all that thing.
We chant Xing Qing.
But the whole building, a lot of good vibration, a lot of good energy.
Yeah.
I went there. Anyway, I don't feel anything like a normal crematorium one. I don't feel. I feel good energy there.
But the crematorium is in Shah Alam.
Oh, in Shah Alam.
Oh,
okay. Maybe that place I didn't have a chance to be there. But the building where you have your wake is very good. That place, the energy is very good.
And actually, that day, full house, we were so lucky also. Full, it's just unfold,
Yeah.
Full house. Because of MCO, they cannot do it at home.
Correct. Because at home, you have a lot of restriction. There, because the building is big and is a private car park, and you cannot simply go in. So that place is very conducive. Very good, Sadhu.
That's all. Thank you. And once again, I would like to thank Brother Teo, Mrs. Teo.
Yeah, Sadhu. We also rejoice.
For giving me the support. Actually, I really feel the warmth from Kayana.
Yeah, Sadhu. Yeah, because you all have contributed a lot. Like I explained that day, you and Brother Teo, your whole family, including your father-in-law, you have played your very important role. Especially the My Kayamita website, the book printing and spiritual trip organization, our annual retreat and many activity, even the monthly house dana, all arranged by you and Brother Tung. And mainly, you all are the one behind a lot of our things.
Brother, we are just carrying out our duty.
Correct, but you all play a major part.
We are just doing as what we can.
Yeah, because of condition. Without that, all this won't happen because of what you all did. And all this is a result of your past. Your past, you have affinity, you have condition. That's why this life, it unfolds. Then you have the condition for all this. And all this, the merits, the parami, is going to shine forth and pave the way for you, Ratio, and all the Kayamita who are involved to have beautiful cultivation in the future. A lot of these things, you all may not see it now. When it unfolds, this website is going to help a lot of people, these books and all those things. And the Dhamma is going to be there for a long, long time. And all this can actually manifest and evolve until very, very beautiful. So my nature really rejoices. It's meant to be. Even Chin Hao, all those who help out, like Sui An, and also all the other Kayamitas, these are very beautiful. So don't have to say this is my duty or what. That one is your thought will try to tell you all those things. But the understanding part is different. The understanding part is for you to have such condition is not by chance. A lot to do with your past.
and a lot to do with what happened this life because of your aspiration, your vow, your affinity, and
yeah, it's very natural from us that.
The condition behind is arising is not what you understand. What you understand one is that one the thought will tell you, you just do because you try to link it to the cultivation. But the real one is different. The real one, you will have this gratitude. How you have such condition? Because I remember the first retreat up there, Cameron Highland. You and Ingby, I remember, you all were in tears and you want to help Brother Tiu. That time Brother Tiu haven't joined. And you vow to bring him because you're really very sincere and you want to really bring him to benefit whatever good things. Ingby also have the same intent. But you managed to do it. Brother Tiu came. So not everybody has that condition. Then later on, when you start to understand, you change. Brother Tiu also came in and became very happy. And Brother Tiu thanked me. He said, "Thank you, Brother Tiu. My life become better." And a lot of other things happen. That's very beautiful. That's why all this fall into place. Then you all get to play all those roles because you are very sincere. And when you approach me for all those things, I let you do. Even the spiritual trait you told me you haven't done before, let you have a chance. Then later on you develop until you become quite good. Then I let you learn to organize other things. That's how the condition come about because of your past, your affinity and the condition. Then you all also know how to do your part. And we spend a lot of time together also because you every time together, hey Brother Tiu, invite us for lunch, for dinner, and all those things.
Sometimes
we
think.
Yeah, then invite us to your house.
I want to go to your house.
The Thursday class dinner, you ask Alicia, Song, they all they know. Paulian, PG, they all they know. The food was so good because of your generosity, your good intent, and your kindness. Because it's a joyful occasion, and that's what you want to do. And you always buy the best. So sometimes you're not free when the maid not there. I remember relative went tapao. Very nice. So those were the condition that unfold. It's not easy, and this life, this condition, it become parami. Because of what we did this life, do you know in future? This will set the condition for future. That's why in the past you all have done certain things. That's why your affinity with my nature and the Triple Gem, they are all interconnected. Otherwise you all wouldn't come so close to my nature to help me do all these things. It cannot happen unless past affinity and condition. Like this life, what we gone through together, the cultivation, everything, this is the affinity that you establish with my nature and with the Triple Gem. And this is the window for the sasana. And because of what you all did, the future, you will have greater condition. And when the future manifests, it could be even more fantastic. This is the part you all must learn. This is the part only cultivator understand. So anyway, thank you so much, Sister Pamasri. Thank you for the good condition and the good sharing, the expression.
Thank you,
thanks.
Thank you, Brother Tiu, Mrs. Tiu, and all
Sadhu.